You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
And we're thrilled that you're doing just that. Great to have you along, everybody. Michael Regae in for Nathan Zagura. Let's start this second half of this exciting, enthusiastic, and entertaining Monday as the Browns head down to Tampa. Matt Wilhelm is here as well. I'm going to lay out our buffet table here again in a moment. A lot of terrific topics for you to delve into on our OBM Hot Topics of the Day. Matt, Xavier Galindez, I think, offers up a very strong tweet to us.
All right.
As we start this second hour of the show, at Michael Regae, at Browns underscore daily. And it's something that that we hadn't got to yet. We touched on him. Xavier asked or says he thinks it's very possible that Raheem Mostert can do enough on special teams, and not only as a returner, but as a kick cover and punt cover guy, too, as well, to replace Marlon Moore and allow then the Browns to carry an extra wide receiver and running back. That's enticing.
It is enticing, and I think he's true. I think it's right. I really do. I think Raheem Mostert, in some of the siren periods out of practice, has run the football very well and stood out. I think Raheem Mostert on the ground in some of the football games has showed a burst and showed flashes of playing at this level. He was our best probably kickoff returner, minus maybe a couple that Justin Gilbert did well on last year. I think, unfortunately, when you think Raheem Mostert, you think of the punt after the safety that was fumbled by him.
Right.
But as he has he's claimed and said and clarified that was the first punt in a game he has ever fielded his entire life. Okay, so I don't know if we'll give him that one or not, but I think he is a guy that comes out and competes. He is humble, and I think he fits the mentality that Hugh Jackson, wants to bring here. The whole Terrell Watson, dialogue that we had earlier comes into play. But he's right. And this is a kid that's doing everything that's asked upon him. And I think also, when you look at Hugh Jackson, why he talks about, and he didn't play so well this past Thursday, but like my guy, Tracy Howard, you talk about the promotion of Jamar Taylor.
Yeah.
You look at Raheem Mostert and his opportunity to go down there and you're trusted to return the kicks with the ones when you have a talent like Justin Gilbert and you're trying to find a way to get him on the football field. And yet this guy's out there before him. He must be doing something right. And it's, to wrap it up, it's all of these guys, these young guys, all of them who've had a undrafted free agent, drafted in the second round, didn't go well for Jamar Taylor down in Miami, who have now found the energy and they're buying into Hugh Jackson and they're giving him their all. So much so that Hugh Jackson is rewarding them with more opportunities. And for some of these undrafted guys, the more opportunities you get to show what you can do is your best shot of making the football team, because sometimes the odds are so slim and the reps are so small that you've got to be darn near perfect that when you earn more reps, it means you're making headway, up the depth chart, but in the favor of the head football coach as well.
Yeah, that's a terrific point. And, as we talked about the plights right now of both Barkevious Mingo and Justin Gilbert in the first hour, you just said that about Jamar Taylor, and I think it's, guys, this is his fourth year in the league. He was a young man that came out with tremendous acclaim out of Boise. He was a second-round pick, 54th overall by the Miami Dolphins, and Matt, for whatever, now they've had a coaching change after he was drafted, and so he's had played for two coaches and two regimes in 3 years. And you know what? So maybe it wasn't going to work down there, and maybe this change of scenery. And now Hugh Jackson and Ray Horton and, the defensive coaches, quite possibly this is something that could trigger him and jumpstart him and maybe even making him hungrier to say, I'm just going to be a success in the NFL.
Absolutely. And believe it or not, scouts and general managers get it wrong when they draft a guy. Surprise, surprise for everybody that pays attention. It happens. It doesn't only happen here. It happens other places.
That's right.
And there's multiple layers that, when listening to you kind of lay that out, that kind of came into my mind. And I'll just use Jamar Taylor. There is, you thought Jamar Taylor was going to fit your scheme, and he didn't quite fit your scheme. You thought Jamar Taylor was going to basically change the way he's played his whole career to fit your scheme, and it hasn't happened at all, or it hasn't happened in the timely fashion that you saw fit, and that's why you let a guy go. And then there's also, and I, for a guy like, you know, I referenced Tracy Howard, to be considered my guy so quickly, you know, in this process by Hugh Jackson, he must be doing something right. And there are times where no matter what you do, where you feel like I'm giving great effort, I'm doing everything that my coaches are asking me to do, mm-hmm. and yet they give the other guy the shot first.
Yep.
So sometimes personalities don't click. You don't click with the GM. You don't click with your position coach for whatever reason, because I hate to say it, the same way a teacher plays favorite or there's a teacher's pet, it happens at this level too.
It's life. Reality.
It is life. And it's relevant to professional football. And a lot of people might not think it happens, but it does.
Yep.
And that's the way guys, you know, we've talked about them a lot. The guys like Barkevious Mingo can hang around and hang around until you draft a guy like Joe Schobert, or you draft like an Emmanuel Ogba, and your eyes open to, wait, this guy we got in the second round, this guy we got in the fourth round, and they're on the field year one. Why can't he get on the field? And you go, oh, he's not good enough to make our football team anymore.
Yeah, and that's maybe exactly the position Jamar Taylor found himself in. And as you heard Hugh Jackson say right now, he is, and I would say, you know, until further notice, I'm going to say probably permanently he has taken Kaywan Williams.
He's our third corner.
He's the third corner.
He's the first guy off the bench if anything happened to Joe Hayden or Tremont Williams. Yep. Regardless, inside, outside, left, right, doesn't matter.
There you go. All right, 216-578-0850. I know you guys are hanging on, and you're doing a terrific job today. Let's get back at it. Cell phone driving around town on an energized Cleveland Browns Daily Monday. Here's David on the show. What's going on, Dave?
How you doing, Michael?
Good, sir. Good to hear from you.
Yeah. Usually talk baseball, but I'm going to say this could be the best trial of coaches we've had in town in a while.
Agreed.
The less senior guy is the one that won the championship. I love Hugh. I have all the faith in the world in Hugh, especially with the skilled players. All they have to do is keep the O-line together offensively. Not even worried about that. And I think what the ugliness that we're seeing on the other side is, I think he's just trying to figure out who to use.
He is. I believe that to be true.
Yeah, I just think that when you look at it, I don't even want to talk about scheme. We don't even know who's going to play. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just one of those things
Would you agree, though, Dave, that this week you want some of that to start showing up, right?
And
We can go through, all of the names that are going to be involved in it, and we have. But, you know, I want to see it start showing up where we tangibly can see, all right, these guys are a fit together, and they play well. Whether it's – and, with Ray Horton, David's going to be a hybrid. I mean, it's not always going to be a traditional 3-4. There'll be some 4-3s and 5-2s involved as well. But we got to see guys fit. That's the bottom line.
You know what kind of drives me crazy a little bit is, if you remember way back to Buddy Ryan's days with the Bears, that 46.
Love the 46.
That was never really a pass-blitzing defense. That was a run-blitzing defense. Mm. Nobody could run the ball on them at all, if you remember.
No.
They couldn't
but
get 20
Hall of Fame
yards.
Type talents there. I mean, Richard Dent, Mike Singletary, Dan Hampton. I mean, they all played their roles, man.
Yeah, that wasn't Blitzburg. That was a run blitz.
You're right. You're right.
That just made teams one-dimensional, and we all know when you do that, you succeed defensively. So, probably game 4, 5, 6, maybe we'll be better defensively, but as far
as that's the way it's got to go, Dave. I mean, certainly we appreciate the call. Thank you for certainly. Now Dave's very positive about.
Yeah,
but for me, Matt, again, which players are going to who and what they do best and within the scheme are going to be able to play together, and I think that's what Ray Horton's looking for, as We're hopefully we start to see some of that, because I think it's got to start kicking in now. I mean, I'd hate to be sitting here, Matt, the week of, September, what would that be? Monday would be September the 5th, game week, and going into Philadelphia and just have no idea what personnel fits are going to be successful going into week one.
And I believe that's why this week is so important. And you pointed it out, you know, as we laid out the show in the first segment. That's why for guys like Barkevious Mingo and Justin Gilbert, but even furthermore, Jamie Meter and John Hughes and Emmanuel Ogba and Xavier Cooper, we know they're going to contribute.
Yeah.
But I know personally for me, I know for you and probably the entire dog pound, give me the three guys that are going to walk out there for the first snap on defense.
Exactly.
We haven't seen it yet. And we don't know who that is. And that's why these extra stealing this extra day of competitive football against the Buccaneers tomorrow and in doing it in shells on Wednesday and then seeing who can basically transfer all that over and gets the nod on Friday night and apply themselves is probably going to be who's going to do it on September 11th as well.
Exactly. And are you agreement with me in last segment when I brought up when we were discussing Danny Shelton? You know, given that the opposition, Matt, is probably going to snap the football and run, you know, 65 to 75 plays, give me the three guys that I can have out there for 50 of those snaps or more.
Yes.
Are you with that?
I am with that.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And Nathan and I have both said all along because, you know, and not to dwell on the past, but past regimes had these constant rotations at wide receiver and D-line and whatever, and there was no continuity.
None.
Where it's like, raise your hand if you're a starter on this team and 16 hands go in the air.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like because who started it, you know, it's the core of who we are has to be, and the reason why I say it is because other teams are doing it. If you name off who's starting for the Pittsburgh Steelers on defense, there's 11 guys.
Exactly.
And that's the one thing
and you know
why
who they are.
Correct.
And they're playing three quarter of the snaps.
They are. And that's
they're three down guys.
Yes. After each game, when we get these big, beautiful printouts, you know, by the NFL and PR, first thing I go to is play percentage. Mm-hmm. And I always try to see, at least specifically defensively, you look 8 out of 10 guys for the, and this is fact. I believe this. I know this because I remember it. 8 out of 11 guys on Pittsburgh Steelers defense played like 95% of snaps.
I love it.
Okay?
I love it.
And I want to say 3 Cleveland Browns played that much out of a defense. Everyone's playing 50%, 60%, 30%, 20%. There's no continuity.
Yeah.
And I think it, long story short, is we were trying to outthink people. And they were lining up and just kicking our butts.
Yeah, exactly. And look, nobody's asking for the reincarnate here of, you know, I'm not looking for the 2000 Baltimore Ravens, the 2002 Tampa Bay Bucks. You get my point. The Steel Curtain. We just had a gentleman refer to the 85 Bears. I'm not expecting that kind of dominance. But I am expecting guys to show that they belong on the football. Can we get the defense maybe into the top 12, even top 15 overall this year? And I'm not a big numbers guy, but I know this. When you're giving up, you know, when the other team's got the football for 34, 35 minutes, Matt, you're giving up 27 to 30 points a game, and, you know, you're number 31, 32 against the run, and it's going to be tough to win. I mean, it's just going to be tough to win. So, got to improve, and we're hoping for that. All right, hang on. We'll get to you when we get back. Also on the other side, speaking of being able to win, I think we're all in agreement that our confidence level will go up immeasurably if the Cleveland Browns get Joe Hayden back to being, you know, one of the top 10 corners in the game, a spot that – he has claimed and won that certainly that all of you as Browns fans need to see him return to. We'll hear from Joe Hayden. We'll get back to you as well. If you're on the line, stay there. You can tweet at the show, at Browns_daily, at Michael Regei, at ESPN Cleveland, and also at 216-578-0850. Having a lot of fun and touching on a lot of impactful situations that will occur with the Cleveland Browns as we get into week 3 of the preseason. Don't go away. Regei for Zagura, Matt Wilhelms here. We're back in a moment on CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back, everybody. So great to have you with us. Michael Regei in for Nathan Zagura, traveling with the Browns to Tampa. It's a week that is going to tell us a lot, and I think the the bottom line is going to, I think it's going to be revealing. I think it's going to be eye-opening for a lot of different Browns, both young and veteran alike. With, we're going to find out a lot, as Matt and I have been breaking down for you, how he and his coaching staff looks at their football team as now they get inside 3 weeks of having, as both Matt and I like to say, the bullets flying for real come September 11th. So still got time to jump on with us. Matt, Joe Hayden, before we listen to Joe from yesterday, I got to tell you, and then this is frank talk, there's, and I know a lot of it is because of the injury maladies that he's suffered the last couple of years. He's, you count the concussion as, and he's into three significant injuries that I think have taken away some of his overall effectiveness and limited the, I'm going to use the word dynamism that you want to see him play with.
Sure.
For him, do you expect him to be able to quickly reclaim some of that, if you're assuming that he is healthy and able to get that? And how much isn't it not necessary that he's the guy that galvanizes this defense?
Yes.
And becomes the on-the-field voice with Ray Horton's defense?
I believe that to be 100% true. And I'm going to be honest. I hope he can get back to be Joe Hayden that we know and love about Joe Hayden, that shut down corner. Do I think it's going to happen right out of the gates? No, I don't.
Okay.
I really don't. And that's
just
and that's just because I'd be, I'm always super optimistic, and I think Joe's going to get there. But Joe predominantly, even in some of his best years, started slow, coming out of the gates. It took him 4 or 5 weeks, even in 2014, before he became the Joe Hayden that we knew him. So I think it might happen a little bit slow. But all that being said, when it comes to Joe Hayden and this defense, that's why figuring out our ability to stop the run and that defensive line and our ability to create a pass rush is so vital, because I think Joe Hayden in this scheme working will have us looking and playing so much better than just Joe Hayden being the great Joe Hayden, if that makes sense.
No, I get
and
you.
I think Joe fitting into this system and playing his role will help everybody around him instead of everyone struggling and them throwing the football away from Joe. That doesn't help anybody.
No, I understand what you're saying. And again, I'm right with you on this, and we haven't discussed this. I was doing a speaking engagement last week, and a guy said to me, he said, Reggie, give me your top five corners in the NFL right now. And, the speaking engagement was here in town, and I'm sure everybody was saying, oh, Reggie's going to have Joe Hayden in there. Well, no, Patrick Peterson and Josh Norman for me right there. I love Marcus Peters, the young man from Kansas City. I mean, he went to the Pro Bowl last year in his rookie year. Richard Sherman, I mean, Chris Harris, Malcolm Butler, Agib Tlaib. To me, those guys right now are above Hayden. And Joe's got to, I don't know if you agree with everyone,
but how much of it?
You got to reclaim that, Joe.
But how much of it has to do with Joe Hayden's just falling to the back of your mind because he wasn't Joe Hayden for the 5 weeks he was healthy, and then he missed the rest of the entire season. So you just kind of go, well, Agib Tlaib and Chris Harris just won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They're fresh in your head.
Yeah.
But I don't think 2 years ago you'd put Tlaib maybe in the top eight.
Yeah.
But now you wouldn't.
I guess so.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you ask me right now, again, and this is, I think the world of Joe and want him to get back there. But, if you're asking me right now today, am I going to take Patrick Peterson? Yeah. Yeah. Am I going to take Josh Norman? Yeah. Am I going to take Richard Sherman? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? If you're asking me to make the choice, now, can Joe Hayden get back to that level where, you hear the phrase all the time that, offensive coordinators say, I'm not going there. I don't care who's out there. Then if I'm going to go there, if he's starting to follow receivers, from one side to the other, Matt and whatever, I want that offensive coordinator to say, because some of those guys we mentioned, they aren't going at them consistently.
Right.
Right? They're just not. And you see it. If you watch those teams' games, you see it. They take their shot here and there. But is it a consistent deal where they're throwing – at Patrick Peterson, where they're throwing at Josh Norman, you know, where they're throwing at these type of no.
Right. And
they're
that's
not.
What, and I think this is the way the year sets up, though, in seeing A.J. Green twice a year and Antonio Brown twice a year.
Joe's been terrific against A.J. Green.
Correct. He's been terrific against A.J. Green, but Antonio Brown's had his number.
Destroyed him.
You know, you look at, you know, our schedule. He's going to have he's going to get Dez Bryant.
Yes.
He's going to get Brandon Marshall.
Yep.
He's going to get Keenan Allen with San Diego.
San Diego, right.
He'll get Sammy Watkins in Buffalo.
Yeah.
He'll get Odell Beckham Jr.
That's right.
So if there were ever a stage set for Joe Hayden to become again, or to reclaim,
announce his return,
correct?
Right?
It would be.
Yeah,
this is that setting to do so, and the Cleveland Browns need him to do that.
Counting on it, quite frankly, counting on it. I want him to say, "Reggae, at the end of the year, you got me in the top five now." Yeah, Joe, I'd like. Yeah, I do. You had a fabulous 2016. All right, let's give a listen to Joe Hayden as he spoke with the media yesterday and about some of the very things that Matt and I are just discussing, from the Browns cornerback looking to get back on the football field, and that should happen Friday night against Tampa.
How's everything feeling? Like just riding the bike, getting back on again?
Oh, yeah, it is. You know, it feels good to be back out there. It feels really good to be going against other players, you know, lining up, backpedaling, breaking on passes. Feels good.
Is it kind of lucky timing that you guys are going to Tampa and getting a few days against another team? I mean, for you haven't been out there a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it is, man. Just to be able to get some competition against another NFL team, you know, that's really just going after you. So it's going to be some real competition. And I think being able to go back full go finally against another team, you know, trying to get after it, is going to be really good for me.
What have the last couple of weeks been like for you, just kind of slowly breaking in? How's your recovery been?
It's been going really well. Haven't had any setbacks. Ankle just been getting better and better. So I've just been doing more and more, you know, breaking, jumping, doing a little bit of everything. So now I'm able to do team 11-on-11 stuff, full speed, full go. So I'm just getting better and better.
Do you feel you're on pace where you need to be for week one?
Yeah, for sure.
Hugh was saying that Jamar Taylor is going to get an opportunity to start at corner, and he worked with you there today a little bit. Can you talk about how Jamar has come along and what kind of starter you think he'd make?
I think Jamar would be a really good starter. I mean, you can tell by just people doing individual drills and the way that he comes out of his breaks, the way he understands football, the way he understands concepts. He's a smart football player, and his ability, you know, to being able to lock people up and press coverage, backpedal, his breaks. So I mean, just watching him play, he's a good player in the league.
And does it surprise you in some ways that the Dolphins seem to kind of let him go so easily?
I mean, you never know situations with this league. The Panthers seem to not care too much about Josh Norman, so you never know with how they feel about certain people. But I'm glad he's here, and he's going to be a really good player for us.
I was just going to say, the two of you together, what kind of tandem do you think the two of you would make?
I think we have a solid tandem, man. Me, him, and now, so we can't keep forgetting about Tremont. We just got a group of dudes that definitely know the game. I mean, you know, Tremont, his knowledge of football is impeccable. So I always ask him certain things, and with us three being able to be out there, I think every one of us can cover number one, number two guy for sure. And just us working together is going to be special.
Is Tremont the kind of guy that would be okay with that move, or at least accept it and maybe move inside if that's what Hugh decides?
Man, whatever Hugh decides. I mean, that's the thing about our room. We have a bunch of guys that just have one goal, and that's winning. And if they feel like that's what the situation would be, I don't think Tremont would be the type to do that at all in any shape of imagination to feel a certain type of way.
Joe, what do you think of the way the K-1 thing has gone down?
Man, I really don't really know too much of the situation. I just hope that everything clears out. K-1 is one of my really good friends on the team. You know, he just, you know, tough situation. You know, some people that you gotta really love this to be here. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of hours, a lot of things you got to put into it, and if you're not all into it, then it's no one's place to tell you what you want to do. So I mean, I'm here for K-1, whatever he wants to do, but like we said, we gotta just keep moving on with who we got here.
So there he is, Joe Hayden, and I think we're all hoping that there's no question about that. He is regarded as one of those around the National Football League, Matt, that has that cachet, that has that about him.
He does.
That has, there's no question about that. We want to see him reclaim that. Again, as you said, kind of come out and announce yourself as, I haven't gone anywhere. Things haven't gone the way I've wanted, meaning Joe Haden in the last couple seasons. But here I am, and you opponents better understand that you want to start throwing at me 10, 12 times a
Make
football
them pay.
Game. Make them pay for it is right. Make them pay for it is right. All right. You're free with us. You don't have to pay for anything here on Cleveland Browns Daily. We are, of course, on ESPN 850 WKNR. Give us a timeout when we get back. We're going to our producer, Mike Greamer, will get us involved with, upon further review, some of the sights and sounds and going-ons that Matt and I will chime in on right here on this very, very enthused Monday afternoon when the Browns heading down to Tampa. Don't go away. Coming back with you in a moment on Cleveland Browns Daily.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Oh, having so much fun with you. Great to have you in touch. Do appreciate you being a regular part of Cleveland Browns Daily here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Michael Regan in for Nathan Zagura today. Matt Wilhelm is here as well. Matt, we've had a lot of terrific contribution today.
We have, as always.
Yeah, it's always the case. You're absolutely right about that. We got some more time left. Invite you to keep it coming on Twitter, at Browns underscore daily, at ESPN Cleveland, at Michael Regan. And if you like, 216-578-0850. Mike Dreamer, producer extraordinaire, front and center, sir. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you guys?
We're great. Terrific. I bet you got an enticing upon further review ready to roll for us today, yes?
I think I got some good ones for you.
All right, let's let it have at it, sir.
After further review.
All right, well, let's kick it off first. I would like you guys to give me one player whose stock is up after through two preseason games and one player who needs to step up.
Oh, that's very easy. I'm going to go with the center point of our offense in Robert Griffin III. How can his stock not be up after everything we thought we knew of Robert Griffin III coming here from Washington, both as a person and as a player? He's walking around as a leader. He has, you know, spoken very, very well, conveyed his emotions about playing here in Cleveland and being the quarterback and earning that starting spot. And his play on the field, minus that interception, which I don't believe was technically all his fault. He's played very well and led us to a couple touchdown drives, and I look to see more of that throughout this week and, of course, Friday at Tampa Bay. And then the guy who needs to step up, I'm going to say Danny Shelton. Danny Shelton, the middle of our defense. There is a standard in my mind, having played in a 3-4 defense for 7 of my 8 years, that a nose tackle needs to abide by, and Danny just hasn't figured that out yet. Now, it's in his second year. He's learning a second scheme. And I just hope that film against Atlanta was very glaring for both him and Hugh Jackson, as well as Ray Horton, to get that problem fixed sooner than later.
Danny had a few strong things to say about just that very thing yesterday, by the way. All right, my partner, of course, Robert Griffin III. How could you not go there? So I will go with, and again, this is going back to Hugh Jackson and his first association with Terrell Pryor with the Oakland Raiders, when he was the one that said to him, young man, I'd like you to consider a position switch to keep your NFL career alive. And it's taken a few years, but as what will happen in the NFL, here they are back together again. And you damn right, I think, a lot of Terrell Pryor showing us that he just may have the chops to play wide receiver in the NFL is all about one Hugh Jackson in being kind of his, he's his football guru right now, and he's got Terrell in a very good place. I will go on the other side to notch things up a little bit, Matt, with Danny Shelton's draft mate in the first round, Cam Irvin, from 2015. A little bit better, now a little bit better on Thursday night against the Atlanta Falcons, but as Hugh Jackson said, far from where it needs to be. Got to be more consistent and cannot allow, whether it's nose tackles, inside backers, or whether it's on twist, you can't allow heat. in the interior on Robert Griffin III, because that's going to spell big trouble for the Browns in a lot of different ways. If it does.
After further review.
All right, guys, we're going to go to RG3 now, and I would like you guys to give me one thing you like about his play through the first two preseason games and one thing you would like to see him improve on in the final 2 weeks of the preseason.
There's a few things that I like about his game. Obviously, you love his ability to throw the football down the field with Hugh Jackson calling up those plays, and if it's there, Robert Griffin III is going to take those opportunities. I love his footwork and the fact that he's staying in the pocket, only deviating out of the pocket when the play completely breaks down or it's a called play as it was multiple times in that zone read. And the thing I'd like to see him improve on is his sliding. He's going to break his tailbone if he keeps sliding that way and not baseball sliding and popping up. Otherwise, I'd love to see him maybe spread the football around a little bit more. That might be the only thing to be overly critical of where he's at thus far.
For me, ball placement, which ties into accuracy. I'm looking at his ball placement heavily because, again, it's so vital for a quarterback to be able to function within his offense, keep drives alive, not hang receivers out to dry. I've been impressed. I was worried that Robert would not acclimate to that in Hugh Jackson's system as quickly as he has, so obviously keep it up. And again, just make sure you're continuing to grow when – you know, Matt, pre-snap read, just continue to grow with what you're looking at across the line of scrimmage from you, and don't feel like you've got to be the guy to make big plays. Let everybody, you know, you figure out what you're looking at and what defenses are trying to do to you when the regular season begins, and hopefully that's going to take Robert to a very, very good place. Next, Mike.
After further review.
All right, guys, if the regular season were to start today, who would be your top two choices to back up Gary Barnage at tight end?
That's a very good question. I would say Randall Telfer is definitely going to make this football team.
Agreed.
We need him in the run game if we want to go single back in some scenarios and run out in 12 personnel. Mm-hmm. And I would say the other tight end that I would pick is – I'd probably say I'm going to take EJ Bibbs, and I'm going to put Seth the Valve on the practice squad.
Yeah, because you got the drafted rook that you'll probably be able to get him through waivers and get on that practice squad. Matt, we don't need to waste a lot of time. I'm right with you. I definitely Telfar and Bibbs, and I like your thought about Seth the Valve as well. That's an easy one, Mike. Next.
After further review.
All right, guys, last one. Who's been the bigger surprise in camp, Jamar Taylor or Carl Nassib?
I'm going to say Jamar Taylor. I mean, this is a guy that was disgruntled, you know, leaving Miami, started at the bottom of a depth chart and had to earn friends in this locker room and earn playing time and respect from the coaches and players, and has shot up the depth chart and is now, as we mentioned earlier, is the third cornerback or the first one that will come on the field in nickel situations. And that breath of fresh air that Hugh Jackson brings as an aura about him, I think Jamar Taylor has breathed that in and soaked it up and realizes, hey, I can play five more years in this league, you know, because of the inspiration of Hugh Jackson. And hopefully a lot of them happen here in Cleveland, and he's playing his best football here with the Cleveland Browns. So I would say him, and I'm not going to discount Carl Nassib, but if you're a Buckeye fan, you know what Carl Nassib is capable of. I just think Carl Nassib, as great as the sacks have been and how productive he's been, he's still guilty as charged because he is a part of that defensive line that we haven't figured out yet and has given up chunk run after chunk run.
I'll go with Taylor as well for some of the reasons that you laid out, and we discussed even earlier in the show about him now resurrecting himself going into year four and maybe a light coming on a little bit with Hugh Jackson and Ray Horton's help. And as far as Nassib goes, Matt, here's the thing, you know, for me and covering the Big Ten and being around, it's like everybody loved Nassib and his ability to get off and a self-made guy and the way that he works and with his burst getting upfield after quarterbacks. But I was told, now watch closely, though, needs a lot of work against the run.
Of course, and we saw him at three technique the other night.
There you go.
And he's getting mowed down the field.
Yeah. Yeah. So is that? But again, I mean, this is a rook. That's for me, and a big part of the reason, Matt, as we started the show, why I, you know, again, now, you know, he wasn't a first round guy, as we know about Nassib. But here's the thing: do you want him to be able to, in his rookie year, get on the football field?
Yes.
Get reps and be able to impact your defense in a positive way. I mean, the answer to that is yes.
That's what he will do.
Nobody's asked him to be an all-pro. Don't expect that. That's unrealistic. Nobody's asked him to be the dynamic force of stepping in, whether it's your front as a 3-4, 4-3, 5, doesn't matter. Nobody's expecting that. But be impactful when you get your opportunities. That's what I'm looking for a guy like Carl Nassib. So, which takes us back then again to, as we started the show, Barkevious Mingo and Justin Gilbert. They have not shown they can be consistently impactful, Matt, in our final minute, and that's going to have to start through their play and their work on the practice field.
Oh, there's no doubt. And I think what's going to be encouraging to see how many reps Joe Haden gets at practice, but you're going to get a steady dose of Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans. Huh? Yeah. Some fresh, big bodies. And what did we love about Justin Gilbert coming out? Long, rangy, athletic cover corner. Yeah. Let's see it.
Those are big bodies. My man, it's always a pleasure to be with you.
Of course.
I'm sure we'll see each other again soon as we get toward the regular season. All of you guys, you were terrific today. Great stuff with regard to your being you, Jackson, and what you're looking for. That's what we expect out of you every day out of the Dog Bowl. Nathan Zagura will come at you back from Tampa tomorrow with Matt Wilhelm. I'll see you soon. Mike Dreamer, our producer, great job. Stay tuned. Golden Boys, Gold Hammer, and Golden next on ESPN 850 WKNR in Cleveland. So long, everybody.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.